Runoff, a crime novel about election fraud, evokes a curious timelessness of classic detective fiction. A noir gem, says Mystery Scene Magazine. Find it in ebook or trade paperback wherever books are sold. In this podcast, it's read by author Mark Coggins. Learn more about Mark and his other novels at markcoggins.com. Hi, this is Mark again. I hope you enjoyed Runoff. If you did, and you'd like to encourage me to podcast other Reardon novels, why not give the show a nice review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you use to listen? Alternatively, you can review Runoff itself on Goodreads or Amazon.com. I thought a good way to wrap up would be to provide an excerpt of an interview I did with Kathy Cordova on her TV program In a Word, which airs on TV 30, a local Bay Area station. It was recorded in 2007, but gives some good background on Runoff and my writing in general. Finally, to keep up with developments on the podcast, my writing, or my photography, consider subscribing to my newsletter at markcoggins.com/newsletter or follow my account on Twitter, which is @mark_coggins. Thanks very much. And now here's my interview on In a Word.
Welcome to a special edition of In a Word. I'm your host, Kathy Cordova. Today we're going to do a little something different. Since the genre of mystery is so popular and we have such a wealth of wonderful mystery authors here in the Bay Area, Jim and I are going to take turns interviewing three of those wonderful authors. And first we're joined by Mark Coggins. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
You're a San Francisco author and you have just written your fourth book in a series.
That's right.
Of the August Reardon.
That's right.
Series, and it's called Runoff, and it's in the genre of The Maltese Falcon of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled detective novel.
That's right.
And so welcome very much. And
thank you.
Why don't you start off telling us a little bit about the book?
Sure. Well, it's about a fictional election in San Francisco where it appears as if the results of the election are changed by somebody who may have rigged the city's newly installed electronic voting machines. There's been a lot of news about e-voting machines.
Timely.
Yes, right. And it's sort of modeled after the 2003 election that the mayor that San Francisco had for the mayor's race, where there was a runoff between Matt Gonzalez and Newsom, and it ended up that Newsom won the final race.
Mm-hmm. So you got your idea from real current events in San Francisco.
Right. Yeah, I have been concerned about just reading about electronic voting machines and having some background in the software industry and believing that there is some reason to be concerned about their vulnerability to being hacked or the results being changed from an election. And so I wanted to explore that as well as continue the series with my private eye, and I thought the combination of the two things would work well. There's also a whole subplot about Chinatown and the candidate that appears to have been hurt by the election fixing is a Chinese candidate. So there's Chinese gangs and some color, hopefully, from the Chinatown.
There's a lot of local color. And I lived in San Francisco for 10 years before I moved to the Tri-Valley. And I got to tell you, just reading the book takes me back. And I think you captured the city so well. Chinatown and the Tenderloin and the really crazy characters. I mean, you can almost walk around San Francisco and just take notes and put it all in the book. Is that what you did? Did they come from your imagination or are they based on real characters?
Well, that's a good perception. I very much want to portray the city as accurately as possible. In fact, you probably noticed there's photographs in front of each chapter that sort of set the scenes. But when I do start to write out a chapter that's set in a particular neighborhood, I will walk the neighborhood and take notes, and I'll actually take a camera with me and sort of snap pictures. And if I see some interesting looking character or person on the street, I won't necessarily talk with them, but I can imagine a story that might go around them. And so that's a lot of times how I get my ideas for describing certainly the setting and sometimes the people in the chapters.
Well, I think even though the events are kind of crazy, a backhoe burglar stealing ATM machines. Is that something that was based on
life? Actually also something that's been in the news. As you're talking about the first chapter where mm-hmm. the private eye, August Reardon, is kind of staking out an ATM where there's been ATMs that have been removed from banks, and it's clear there's heavy machinery that's involved, but no one's actually seen it being done. And it turns out he finds out that someone's using a backhoe to sort of pull it out of the wall. And yes, there have been ATM thieves who made use of that of backhoes. Usually, they find them at construction sites, hotwire them, and take them over to the bank and pull the ATM out.
Yeah, so that's something that sounds so fabulous, and then it's actually based. I guess truth is stranger than fiction sometimes.
Yeah, no, I had that as an idea for an opening scene for quite a while, and I wanted to integrate that, and then mm-hmm. it sort of became a theme throughout the book. The backhoe thief, as you know, continues mm-hmm. to appear throughout the rest of the book.
Yeah, you tied that together very well in the end. I'm not going to give away the end, but I love the way you tied it together, and I have to admit, a little confession from me. You sent me this book months ago, and we were booked, and so we planned to have you on in March. And of course, being wanting to have the book fresh in my mind and being the procrastinator that I am, I started it Sunday morning, and today is Tuesday. And I got to tell you, I started it and I thought, okay, I'm going to get through this book. I'm going to read enough so I can interview you. I was hooked. I couldn't put it down.
Great.
So I absolutely love this book, and I think, you know, you're a master in the hard-boiled novel. And I think after reading, we read The Maltese Falcon in October, after reading that and reading about Sam Spade and getting the character, and people told me that your hero, August Reardon, was modeled after Sam Spade. I mean, you do a beautiful job of that. Just gorgeous.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I'm flattered. That's a very nice thing for you to say. And of course, that's what my ambition is to sort of pay homage to Hammett and Chandler. And as I think I mentioned when I was on talking about The Maltese Falcon, August Reardon actually lives in an apartment on the corner of Post and Hyde. And if you read closely The Maltese Falcon, you'll realize that Sam Spade actually lives in that apartment as well. And Dashiell Hammett lived in that apartment for real when he was writing the book. So it's sort of, if you're familiar with Hammett and his work, it's sort of a little inside joke for you to get. I never explained that in the book, though.
Mm-hmm. So I love that. Now, so your character is modeled after Sam Spade. What attracted you to this genre of detective novels?
Well, I actually got started writing when I was going to Stanford as an undergrad. I was looking for what I thought would be an easy credit, and I happened to hit upon a class that was being taught by Tobias Wolff, which was a great privilege, but he wasn't very well known at the time. I think he just published his first short story. He was making the point that certain writers have very distinctive styles, and he decided to illustrate that by reading different segments from different authors. And one author he chose to read was Raymond Chandler, and he read the first chapter of Chandler's famous The Big Sleep, which is his first novel. And I just loved the writing and got hooked and decided I wanted to write like that person. And then I realized there was this other guy named Hammett who was sort of linked with Chandler and in the genre, and read all of Hammett's books too. So it sort of came fairly early on in my writing career. And actually, my next class at Stanford, where I was taking a class from Ron Hanson, who's also a very successful writer now, I wrote a story with August Reardon in it, and eventually that got published. So it's all of a piece. I've only actually ever written about one person and one thing.
And so how long ago did this start?
Well, that was quite a while.
Or did you want to tell us?
No, well, let's just say the late 70s. How about that? Yeah, so
wow, so this was organically bubbling up to the surface. Now, I got to tell you, as I'm reading this book, I'm just thinking, this would make an awesome movie. And I can just imagine the characters in my mind. Now, who would play August? Certainly you've thought of this before.
The first book, which is The Immortal Game, which the San Francisco Chronicle picked as one of their best mysteries of the year, was actually optioned by a producer in Hollywood. And if you talk to writers, you'll hear everybody has an option story where the movie never went anywhere. Same with me. It was optioned, and they actually wrote a script. The guy that wrote the script for The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, if you remember that old mm-hmm. That Sean Connery movie, wrote the script, and it never went anywhere. But I did have some conversations with the producer about who might play August, and he had some kind of interesting ideas. He was thinking of Jeffrey Goldblum, sort of a funny take mm-hmm. on him. He was thinking of the guy that plays Mr. Big on Sex and the City, Chris Knott.
Oh, I could
which,
see
who
him.
I could have mm-hmm. seen, I think. And then at the time, he wasn't quite so long in the tooth. I was kind of thinking of Clint Eastwood just because of Eastwood's connection to the city. Mm-hmm. And it turns out his son is a professional jazz bass player, and August Reardon plays bass. So I thought maybe that might be a good thing, too. Now, my wife thinks Dennis O'Leary would be the perfect person because mm-hmm. Dennis is Irish, kind of got a smart mouth,
and
has been in some TV shows where mm-hmm. he's done well and showed that he can act. So those are the options that we've come up with.
Now, I like Harrison Ford, but he's a little long in the tooth now, too.
Yeah, no, I could see that as well. I read an interview where he said he didn't like it all doing Blade Runner, so I couldn't have eliminated him because Blade Runner is sort of like a private eye set in the future. But yeah, my wife loves Harrison Ford. She would think that would be great.
So what's next for August?
I'm working on another book with August, and it's going to be called, it's based on the fact that Jack Kerouac, when he was in the city, wrote part of some of his famous novels, including On the Road, and he lived in a particular house in the city. So in this, the conceit of the new book is that this house is demolished, and they actually find potentially what is an old manuscript of his for another book that he never released or was sort of secreted away in the wall. And so, as you may know, On the Road toured the country and was bought by this gentleman for like over $1 million to get the actual manuscript. So there's a lot of interest in the manuscript proper, and then, of course, there's interest in publishing a new Kerouac book. So,
good foundation for a great next mystery.
Well, it's kind of like the way that the Maltese Falcon is the MacGuffin that everybody follows through that book. It would be similar in that sense.
Great. Well, we'll look forward to it. Okay. And I would recommend that everybody run out and get Runoff if you want to read a fabulous mystery and spend a whole day Sunday reading. And check out his website at markcoggins.com.
You have been listening to Runoff, a book hard-boiled great James Crumley described as a smart, funny, spooky, often touching, always entertaining romp. Find it in ebook or trade paperback wherever books are sold. In this podcast, it's read by author Mark Coggins. Learn more about Mark and his other novels at markcoggins.com.